Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about waiting on God and why it's important and how to do it. This is always comes back to something we focus on is having a practical and an objective relationship with God. He is real. The experience of knowing Him is an objective relationship. He changes us. He reveals Himself. He is real. This is not about hope that what we believe will be borne out when we die. We don't want to wait until we die to find out if the God we've been believing is real or not. It'd be a little late then. Just as that the scripture that says, well, going to heaven and hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we wait till we die and go to heaven to find out how we're doing, that doesn't really do us any good. We need to know now. We need to know if we're on the right track, if we're doing and being and learning what we should be learning now. This comes back to the whole idea of purpose, that God has purpose for our time here on this earth. And just thinking in those terms that, okay, He put us here on this earth. Just the notion that there might be a reason that He did that gives us then the motivation to find out what that reason is. It's not just so we can bide our time, waste our time, be the victim of time. We not only want to make the most of our time, but we want to overcome it, redeem it, exploit it, use it, and then be above it. So our concepts are, we don't want to hold on to things tightly. Even as we embrace God, we can do so with confidence that He is the complete God, regardless of whether we are believing the right thing or doing the right thing or not. He's not depending on you. Your spirit is already right now doing anything that He needs your spirit to do. Your spirit, who you truly are, is already fully cooperating. So why are we not aware of what's going on? Why are we living defeated lives? Why do we struggle to make changes and can't make them? Why do we struggle with wounds? Why are we so far away from walking the life that Jesus walked? Why do we still have trouble hearing him? It's our soul continuing to maintain its idea of sovereignty. When you were born without your spirit, with your spirit dead, without a source, a connection, an ability to receive life, true life, eternal life, your soul filled that gap itself. And it's spread really thin. It's not only doing the soul's job, your soul does have a job. But it tried to do your spirit's job as well. But now your spirit has been reborn. But your soul doesn't want to give up the job it was doing. And that's the struggle. But only spirit can unseat any usurper of that throne, whether it's your soul, your enemies, your beliefs, anything that tries to rise up against the sovereignty of spirit within you. Spirit is fully capable of redeeming, reclaiming that throne. But because God loves us and is using the circumstances, using the need, the process for our benefit, this takes time. But again, we can knowingly cooperate with what he's doing and redeem that time, make the most out of it. And that's what I want to do. I want to get the most I can out of every opportunity. We don't know what comes next. We don't know what came before our time here on this earth. There's no downside to taking advantage and receiving everything the Lord has for us to receive here on this earth. I'll bet there's no downside other than our soul grieving over its loss of its throne. So yes, there's going to be the wailing of our flesh, the disconnect from those who want to do things their way. There's going to be fleeting pain and discomfort in exchange for life, in exchange for we can't even comprehend now. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into our hearts or minds what God has in store for us who love him and wait for him now. It will be worth it. So Lord, right now, whatever it is that's keeping us from receiving everything you have for us, we give you permission and we want to cooperate with doing whatever it takes to take care of it, to deal with it. You know what we need, and we just say yes. And we come against every interference, every demonic entity, any occultic or spoken word or misbelief or wound. Lord, any interference, we don't want anything between us and what you're doing in our lives. We give you permission, if there is a vulnerability in us, to deal with that. But Lord, we also exercise the authority that we have acquired and received from being a spirit being. So right now, we take authority over all interference. You must go now, and you must go where Jesus sends you. And Lord, we just ask right now, if there is anything in particular that we need to deal with, we just ask that you would bring that, any interference, bring it to our thought or mind or imagination. Give us a picture or a word or a thought that will encapsulate an area and that we need to deal with, that you want to deal with. And so we just gave him just a couple seconds, because we don't want to dwell on it, because that's when the mind starts taking over. Write down any thought or memory or song or emotion. Write it down. And after this podcast, or if you want to wait, pause it now and go talk to him. Say, Lord, where do you want to go with this? Is this an interference, an enemy we need to deal with, or is this a wound that needs to be healed, or is this something you want to teach me? But that's all it is, doing that over and over and over again. Sharpens our senses and changes us by turning to him. That's all we're doing, is learning to turn to him rather than relying on our own strength, our own hearing, our own understanding. And that brings us back to last week. We started talking about meditation, because that's what waiting is. It's meditation. And we start also talking about some myths and misunderstandings about mysticism. Let's be honest, those are just words. But if you pursue waiting on God and cultivating a quiet lifestyle, you're going to run up against people who question your belief in God. Because they're going to say, they're going to use these words as if they were bad. And you just don't worry about it. Don't respond. Let the Lord, if he does want to give you something to talk to them about, he will do that. But the results in your life will be far more effective than anything you could say. But there are many similarities between waiting on the Lord and Eastern meditation techniques. There's also tremendous differences. And really, that can cut through a lot of the clutter when talking to people or in your own understanding. The differences are far more important than the similarities. Now, your soul and body function the same whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. Just like your physical body, you have senses, physical, natural senses, sight, hearing, taste, feeling, and smelling. Well, your soul has those senses, has different senses, but your soul has its own senses. Well, that's true whether you are a Christian or not. Just as your natural senses are part of your body, doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, your body has those senses. Your soul as well. Now, if your spirit is alive, your soul functions differently. And over time, your body functions differently because it's receiving life from its original source, which is God. Eternal life flowing through you energizes your soul and your body. But if you don't have that eternal life flowing through, there is still opportunity for other influences to affect the soul and the body. And that's really the difference when we get into some supernatural occurrences between Christian, godly, eternal, activated activity, and that comes from every other source. So whether you are a believer or not, your soul and body function the same way. For Christians, for you and I, the purposes of quieting our soul and our body is to become available to and receive life from and even give up that control to the Holy Spirit, to God, to eternal life. From within, because we've been reborn in our spirit. Now, for the unbeliever, the purpose of quieting the soul and body is to become available to, receive life from, and give up control to something other than God. Other sources. But when we think about how our spirit, soul, and body, the final result is that we would be one, spirit, soul, and body. So that's the way that relationship was created to be. All flowing one, different characteristics, but together. So it wants to get there. Your soul wants to get connected, back connected to spirit. And your body wants to get back connected to spirit. Because that's its created, its natural state of being is to accept life from spirit. So we want to go there. We are intrigued by it because that's our source of life. And when we have been re-spirited, we want more of spirit. Your soul recognizes its source. Your body recognizes that source of life. Now, if we have not been re-spirited, again, through knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and being born again spiritually, if that didn't occur, that desire of our soul still yearns for spiritual life. And if the true is not available, because there has not been that reconciliation, the soul will hunger for whatever is available. So So if your soul is offered a substitute life, it will take it. And what's weird is God doesn't hold anything against that soul who's done that. The soul is doing everything it can to survive. And God has a time and a way of dealing and a circumstance with every single person. And our goal, the best we can do on behalf of unbelievers, is to know God ourselves and be that example. Cause the unbeliever to thirst after the relationship that we have. It's not necessarily, maybe in some cases, but it's not necessarily that non-God sources of life are sought after. It's usually because that's all that is known. What we can call false religions, false beliefs, false spiritual activity. If that's all you know, that's what you're going to seek after. But think about when Jesus was walking around. Why did he cause such a stir? His teachings were fairly simple. His activities were fairly simple, yet he turned the world upside down. And his disciples turned the whole world upside down. And it wasn't because of what they did or said. It was because when people were around them, somehow they knew that was the genuine God that they were sensing. That was the real thing. And they either wanted it or they rejected it. And either way, they had a strong reaction. They either wanted to make God, Jesus, king or throw him off the cliff. Because they saw the reality of God. And if you pursue knowing him and allowing him that opportunity to bring you into that oneness where you're receiving eternal life in your soul and your body, you will have that similar reaction. People you may not even know may start coming up to you and saying, tell me what your secret is. Or, get out of here. We don't want your kind here. When that happens, rejoice. You know his spirit is flowing through you. Now we're all in a process. It's going to take a while. And who knows, you know, what God's time frame is for any of us as individuals or for a larger group of people. But so far there's only been one redeemed or in full Godhead on this earth. And that's Jesus. Now, Adam and Eve knew God, but they didn't know him as redeemed. So they experienced what we want to experience, but we are going to have the opportunity to be able to value our relationship with him. So we want to understand that we don't want to get caught up in what other people are relying on for their supernatural motivation. The other that they give themselves to is defined in quite a variety of different ways. I mean, everything from worshiping Gaia, Mother Earth, to demons, to even intelligence. We try to fill out that hole. We try to give the soul something to rely on or fill that need for that the soul has. Don't need to be concerned what others may be focusing on. The Lord himself is strong enough to make himself known to us and to them on his own terms. And he provides whatever guidance, assurance, and protection we may need as we follow on to know him. So we stay focused on, Lord, I trust that you will guide me to you. Now, one thing to remember, because we get into this whole idea of being deceived. In one sense, because our soul, our mind, and our will, and our emotions are still wounded, we don't know all the truth, we don't have all the answers, we're not perfect. So in some areas, we are believing things that are not complete, that are not true, that are not perfect. So in those areas, we are already deceived. That's why we want to learn, because we admit we don't know everything. And being the kind of beings that God made us to be, we still draw conclusions. For instance, the Bible doesn't tell us really that much about heaven or about the end of the age, the beginning of creation. But that hasn't stopped us from coming up with quite a wide variety of explanations for each one of those scenarios. We don't like having unanswered questions. We don't like mystery. But rather than pursuing God, eternal life, we let our soul make up its own answers. And God wants us to pursue him. He has given us that desire, again, that need. Your soul needs spirit. And God made your soul to need spirit, to desire spirit, to desire truth and life. And if we're not able to get it from God, we will seek it elsewhere. But you and I can get it from God. So get it from God. Go after him. Pursue him. The goal is not to get those answers. The goal is to know him. He is our reward. And we get there by spending time with him so he can reveal himself and quicken our senses. So we will pick it up here next time, next week, the same time. Until then, if you want to drop me a line, Diane@therainersclub.org. There's also the contact form there. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.